Welcome to the Chief Point, a radio ministry of the Church in Chicago. The name of this program is taken from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Here the writer directed his readers to focus on the main thought or essence of a particular section of the word. He writes that in all that is being said, there is a chief point. We encourage you to listen, follow along with your Bible, and ask yourself, what is the chief point? During this program, our phone lines will be open for questions, fellowship, or prayer. Feel free to give us a call at 773-478-0550. Let's begin our program tonight by opening our hearts to the Lord as we listen.
Good evening, and welcome to the Chief Point, a radio ministry of the Church in Chicago. My name is Frank Vitale, and with me tonight is Jim Ritzky. Welcome, Jim.
Good evening, Frank, and good evening to our listeners.
Yeah, we've heard that we've had some listeners in Valparaiso, we've had some in southern Chicago, and in northern Chicago. But before we begin tonight, Jim, I would like to let all our listeners know that this radio ministry now has a website called thechiefpoint.org. If you would like to listen or read any programs that you may have missed, you can find them at thechiefpoint.org. Okay, let's begin our program tonight. Jim, we've been covering the book of Galatians, and the book of Galatians is a book that emphasizes the matter of the divine life in the believers. There's a verse in Galatians 3:11. It says, "The just shall live by faith. The just shall have life and live by faith." Our justification before God issues in the matter of regeneration, and regeneration is just the addition of God's life into us. This life which has come into us at our rebirth is just Christ himself. Yet, Jim, the entrance of Christ into us is not the end. So tonight, our chief point will be based on Galatians 4:19, where Paul says, "My children, with whom I travail again in birth until," this phrase, Jim, "Christ is formed in you."
Christ is formed in you indicates that Christ needs to grow in us unto full maturity.
Amen.
Christ was born in us when we believed into him. Now Christ lives in us. That's Galatians 2:20. Which is God's Son in us, Galatians 1:16. Mm-hmm. Yet Paul also makes it clear to the Galatians that Christ needs to be fully formed in them. When he speaks of Christ formed in us, Paul uses the illustration of an unborn child within the mother's womb. Normally, the baby is delivered when fully formed after developing within the mother. Mm-hmm. It was Paul's aim to present every man full grown in Christ.
Amen.
That is mentioned by Paul in Colossians 1:28. The word full grown in the original language is teleos, meaning mature, full grown, perfect, or complete.
You know, Jim, Christ can only grow in us as we take more of him into us. And it is only by God that we can grow. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, God causes the growth. It's God that causes the growth. And God added to us is the growth. In Colossians 2:19, it says, we grow with the growth of God. And in the King James Version, this word growth of God is just the increase of God. But how do we grow? Only Christ food can produce Christ in us. For the growth of Christ in us, we need the element, the essence, and the constituent must be just Christ himself. The life in us that needs to grow, Jim, is the divine life, the Zoe life, not the physical life nor the psychological life. We know that with our physical life, we need the elements of food, water, and air for growth, and it is the same with the divine life in us. Growth and maturity can only come by taking the divine elements into us.
And again, what is the food we need to take into us? In John 6:55, John said that Christ is the real food for us to eat. The Lord himself said in that same chapter of John 6, he said, "As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me."
Mm-hmm.
We can say we live by what we eat. Christ is our bread of life. By eating him as our bread, we grow in life. Bread is not for us to study, as in a classroom,
mm-hmm.
but for eating him as our food.
Amen. You know, Jim, the other day my wife was at the grocery store and we were looking at the breads and we were reading the labels for calories and different things like this. But the goal was not to find out the carbohydrates and all these things.
That's
but
right.
The goal was to bring it home and eat the bread. So I'd have two questions for you tonight, Jim. How does Christ come to us as food? And the other question is, what form does this food take?
Well, in John 1:1, he came as the Word of God. As we eat the Word, by reading the Word and by praying over the Word, we are nourished by the one who is in the Word as our food.
Mm-hmm.
In John 6:63, it mentions that it's the Spirit that gives life.
Mm.
"The words, the Lord said, which I have spoken to you, are spirit and are life." It is in the Bible that we have the words of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Paul mentioned in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable."
Amen.
He said also in 1 Timothy 6:3, where he refers to the healthy words of our Lord Jesus Christ. King James Version speaks of those healthy words as the wholesome words.
Mm.
The words, when taken in, give us life.
Amen. You know, Jim, it's wonderful how Paul describes words as being healthy or wholesome. You know, Peter spoke in a similar way as John and Paul. In 1 Peter 2:2, he said that we should long, have a longing desire for the guileless milk of the Word. The Word is considered as milk, that we may grow by the Word. And then in the same chapter, verse 3, it speaks of tasting the Lord. How about that, Jim? Tasting the Lord.
Tasting the Lord,
amen.
Right.
He has the Word, is milk, and he's food for our growth.
Right. Milk is food. We need to take in the spiritual milk of the Word.
Mm.
That needs to be our spiritual food.
Mm-hmm.
Both the life in us needs to grow, and we need to grow in life.
Mm.
The life is the same one life in us, and it's also that life by which we can grow.
Amen.
We have a good statement that we found that goes this way. We received the divine life through regeneration,
mm-hmm.
and we need to grow in this life. And with this life, by being nourished with the Word of God.
Mm.
We need to grow by feeding on Christ. Then this Christ is in the Word of God.
Mm.
There's a line in a hymn that goes this way, Frank. As we eat the Lord, growth he doth afford.
Amen. You know, to take the Word of God in the Bible as our food, it is the best way to do it, or the good way to do it. I'd say the best way is to take it in the way of prayer. In Ephesians 6, 17 and 18, Paul stressed this. He says, take the word, receive the word of God. And how do you receive it? By means of all prayer. So the word of God is related to prayer. As you read the word, turn it into prayer and just pray it to the Lord. You know, Jim, we could read the Word every day, but many times the Lord touches us, and his touching means that we need to take that Word and return it to him in a prayer.
That's right.
And we have a hymn, a portion reads this way, "Christ Jesus is the food we eat. He is our bread. He is our meat. He is our life supply complete. We daily eat of him."
You know, Christ is not only our food, Frank.
Hmm.
But he's also the water for us to drink.
Amen.
You know, as human beings, we need water.
Mm.
Every living thing actually needs water. Our bodies are composed of 65% water.
Wow.
If we don't replenish that water day by day, we could die.
Mm-hmm.
Water is needed for our life processes. Mm-hmm. So we need Christ as our water.
Amen.
In John 4, the Lord met a very thirsty person. Mm-hmm. There he met a woman who had tried many ways to satisfy her inward thirst before meeting the Lord. None of them, however, had satisfied her. To her, the Lord presented himself as a fountain of living water.
Mm.
The Lord told her, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water gushing up unto eternal life." How is she to get this water? And how can we get this water? It's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
Just by asking.
Just ask.
Just ask. In John 4:10, the Lord said, "Ask, and you will be given living water."
Amen.
She admitted that she was thirsty and that the Lord could satisfy that thirst. So she told the Lord, "Give me this water."
Amen. You know, in the same gospel in chapter 7, there was another group of thirsty ones, and the Lord said to them, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." We need to come to him and drink. "He who believes into me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." To believe in the Lord, Jim, is to receive the one who can meet man's thirsty condition. We're just the thirsty ones, and we need to receive the one who can meet man's thirsty condition. We need to come to the Lord, believe on him, and then the Lord comes within us to be the living water to us.
Oh, this is wonderful.
This is wonderful. To drink, just as to eat, is not a once-for-all matter, but something we need to do daily. Daily we need to drink, Jim. Just as with our physical life, our spiritual life grows and is sustained by what we eat and drink.
You know, there's a hymn that is addressed to the Lord as a prayer.
Mm.
It reads this way: "Feed me, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Give me to drink. Fill all my hunger. Quench all my thirst."
Mm.
Feeding and drinking, Lord Jesus, of thee.
Of thee.
Feeding by reading, drinking by prayer. Reading and praying, I eat and I drink.
Mm.
And then it concludes this way: "Praying and reading, Lord, thou art my fare."
Amen. What else could we need, Jim? We have the food, we have the water, but there's a third essential we need for the Lord's life to grow in us. We need air for breathing. In the human life, this is the most essential. We do it constantly and automatically. But Christ is the air we need to breathe.
You know, Christ came to his disciples on the day of his resurrection and did what would seem strange to us, and yet it was a wonderful thing to them.
Mm-hmm.
In John 20:22, it reads, "He breathed into them."
Amen.
"And said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed out, and they breathed in.
Amen.
The word spirit is pneuma, from which we get the English word pneumatic. This word pneuma can also be translated as wind or breath. So we can say that the Lord said, "Receive the holy breath."
Mm.
One of the stanzas of a hymn by A.B. Simpson reads this way: "I am breathing every moment,
every moment,
drawing all my life from thee. Breath by breath I live upon thee. Lord, thy spirit breathe in me."
Amen. Jim, we're going to take a break now, but during the break, if our listeners would like to call us at 773-478-0550, we have a magazine. It's called The Writings, and it emphasizes this matter of taking Christ in as our nourishment by drinking Christ as our living water. So call us during the break at 773-478-0550, and we'll come back to fellowship more about Christ fully formed in us.
Thank you. Looking for a Bible? Come to Chicago Bibles and Books, right off the Kennedy Expressway on the northwest side of Chicago. We carry everything from the smallest, thinnest Bibles to ones with the largest print. We have Bibles in many versions in over 25 languages. Whether you need a study Bible for yourself or a gift Bible for a friend or relative, we can help you find just the right one. Come see us at Chicago Bibles and Books, 3931 West Irving Park Road, or give us a call at 773-478-0550. You can also visit us at our website at biblesandbooks.com.
Welcome back to our program, The Chief Point. Before we continue tonight, I would like to remind our listeners that this radio program is a ministry of the church in Chicago. We would like to mention that if you are enjoying this fellowship, you are invited to join us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We have fellowship in the Word every Lord's Day morning in four different languages, Spanish, Chinese, Korean, as well as English. We have a new meeting place right off the Kennedy Expressway at Irving Park Road in Pulaski, 3915 West Irving Park Road. Also, we'd like to invite families out there with their children. We're having a daily vacation Bible school, July 26th through July 30th, Monday through Friday, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. There'll be many things for the children as well as for the parents. So if you would like details about this, or you would want to pray with us tonight, fellowship with us concerning the message tonight, call us at 773-478-0550. Now, Jim, we'd like to continue on more about Christ fully formed in us.
Right. This is Paul's word in Galatians 4:19, that Christ could be fully formed in us. Christ needs to be fully formed in us so that we can be sons of full age and heirs to inherit God's promised blessing, and that we can mature in the divine life. Mm-hmm. Paul also mentions in Galatians 4:7 the matter of becoming an heir. To be an heir is to be fully matured to inherit all the riches of Christ. A child in God's family needs to grow unto full maturity. Inheritance may be the right of all the children in God's family, but to enjoy the full inheritance, there is a need of maturity in the divine life. We enter God's family by birth. We inherit God's riches to a full extent by the maturity of life.
Amen.
For instance, in a royal family, a child may be in line for the throne, but he needs the growth in the human life along with the discipline of training to exercise the kingship.
So we need growth and we need discipline. You know, God's sons need to be qualified to reign. And this qualification comes through the discipline of suffering, also through the maturity of life, and through living an overcoming life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, it says, if we endure, and in the King James Version, it says, if we suffer in this age, we will also reign with him in the next age. And then in Revelation chapter 12, it talks about a woman who brought forth a man-child who is to shepherd all the nations. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. The throne is a matter of reigning. If you compare these verses, Jim, in Revelation 12, with Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 and 27, you see that the overcomers have the same description. They're going to shepherd the nations. So to be an overcomer and to reign are two of the same things. The man-child is composed of the overcoming saints. The overcomers will reign with him. And this is in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6.
We can consider a good illustration that's also used by the Lord when he refers to the ripening of crops. This illustrates the inheritance that is dependent upon the maturity in life. You know, Frank, when a farmer plants seeds, he goes ahead and he waters them, and he will also fertilize the growing plants. The crops that mature early are called the first fruit. These are reaped and brought into the farmer's house for him and his family to enjoy. The crops that mature later, called the harvest, are brought and stored in the barn. On God's farm, Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians 3:9, you are God's cultivated land, God's farm. Mm-hmm. The first fruit are the early ripening ones, few in number, which are reaped and brought into God's house for God's satisfaction.
Amen.
This is emphasized in also in Revelation 14, verse 4, which points us back to the first fruit and the harvest in Leviticus 23.
Mm-hmm.
The harvest on God's farm is the later ripening ones, the majority which will be harvested later.
You know, Jim, maybe we can give a little summary of what we fellowship tonight. The book of Galatians tells us in chapter 1, verse 16, that God's Son is revealed in the believers. Then in chapter 2, verse 20, it says that Christ lives in the believers. And then finally, Paul tells us his burden in chapter 4, verse 19, that Christ needs to be formed in the believers. We realize how wonderful it is to have received the divine life of Christ into us at our regeneration. Yet tonight, Jim, the chief point in Galatians 4:19 shows us that we need to have Christ grow in us until he's fully formed, fully matured in us, so that we can reign with him at his coming and be his satisfaction.
So, Frank, to grow unto maturity, we need three vital and essential matters.
Amen.
These matters we saw tonight are, firstly, Christ is our food. Secondly, Christ is our drink. And thirdly, Christ is the air, the pneuma, that we moment by moment breathe into us.
Amen. Jim, you picked out a song here, and we'd like to go through it tonight because it really helps us to see the matter of the growth in life, Christ growing in us, and it's by Frances Ridley Havergal. I've been reading her book, The Memorials, lately, and we're just going to read this song tonight and maybe have a few comments. It's a familiar hymn. One verse goes this way, "Deepen all thy work, O Master. Strengthen every downward root. Only do thou ripen faster, more and more thy pleasant fruit. Purge me, prune me, self-abase, only let me grow in grace." Jim, we need to all have this kind of a prayer that the Lord's work in us as the Master would deepen in us, that we wouldn't just remain as ones.
That's right.
With a life that we were born with a life, but we want this life to deepen in every part. It's like the plant that was, or the seed that was sown in Matthew 13. It needs to really take deep root in us and go deeper and downward. And then also that it needs to ripen faster. It seems like the growth of life is so slow, and anything we can do to cooperate with the Lord, to help in him grow in us, we want to just give ourselves to him.
Then she goes on in another stanza, pointing out how we need to let the Lord work in us and work through us in different environments. The different environments the Lord has put us in are all for our growth, the growth of the divine life in us. She says this, "Let me grow by sun and shower. Every moment water me. Make me really, hour by hour, more and more conform to thee. Let thy loving eye can trace, day by day, my growth in grace."
Amen. The Lord is just, his eyes are on us, wanting us to grow. And it says here, grow in grace. This is actually the last verse of 2 Peter. He uses this phrase, growth in grace. Jim, how about if we read the last verse together?
Let me then be always growing, never standing still, listening, learning, better knowing thee and thy most blessed will, till I win the glorious race, daily let me grow in grace.
Jim, this should be our prayer. We need to listen, we need to learn, and we need to better know him. This is our desire, that we wouldn't come to a place where we can say we learn no more. Our hearts would always be open to Him and say, Lord, I want to listen to You. I want to learn of You. And I want to better know You and Your will day by day.
So we need to join with the aspiration of this composer.
Mm-hmm.
Let me then be always growing.
Amen.
Daily, let me grow in grace.
Tune in again next week as we continue our Bible study and discussion on The Chief Point, a radio ministry of the Church in Chicago. If you enjoyed the program tonight, we would like to hear from you. For questions, discussion, or simply to pray, our lines are now open at 773-478-0550. Again, 773-478-0550.